without any further ado, it is time for History Matters This Week in History with the one and only Scott Washington, who joins us here in the studio now. How are you?
Well, I'm doing good, and how appropriate that we would have that music this week.
Yes.
With the royal wedding. I'm sure that Saturday is one of those big days that everyone's going to put down on their schedule.
Second best wedding of the day, I believe. Yeah.
I totally agree with that.
Love it.
Well, this is a great week for history, as it seems every week is, and I get excited about everything. I think, oh, yeah, and then we hit another good week like mm-hmm. this. There are all kinds of really interesting things that happened this week. I suppose we can take a look at yesterday, which is May 16th, mm-hmm. and on that day in 1771
yes.
is a formative event in North Carolina history, the Battle of Alamance County. Now, it's been called the battle. I would say, really, it was more akin to a massacre, even though the Boston Massacre, which occurred March 5th, 1770, that was five people, and it was decried as that. Mm-hmm. Actually, what happens a little over a year later here in North Carolina is really significant. And I remember years ago when I first took my kids out to that battlefield and heard the casualty numbers, they were almost identical. Nine died, about 70 wounded on both sides. And I could not understand how a whole movement, a tax revolt movement that was raising really significant questions about colonial influence by the English at that point here in North Carolina, where there was really corruption occurring, how that movement stopped until just in recent years as more of the records came to light, and it turns out that it was much different.
Yeah.
And when Governor Tryon goes out to meet these self-styled regulators, people who had stopped paying taxes back in 1771 because of 5 years of voiced concerns that kept being ignored about money and where it was going, and real questions about local officials pocketing money they were paying in taxes, very significant kind of concerns. Finally, the governor comes out in response to some things that happened in Hillsborough, including one of his right-hand men, Edmund Fanning, whose house gets destroyed. That's it. And the governor mm-hmm. comes out there, has martial law authority, and confronts these protesters and gives them a demand: lay down your arms, pay your fees and taxes, swear allegiance, or else. And they just don't believe it. And mm-hmm. even though there are more of those folks out there at this battlefield, they're not really armed for battle. It's just a day, and some of them didn't even bring muskets, and they're there. And the governor, however, has come with colonial militia, with cannon, point-blank range. And finally, when negotiations, if they were that to begin with, begin to break down, two of them turn to leave, Robert Mathieu and Robert Thompson. And at that point, the governor says, "Where are you going?" And they said, "Well, you know, this is worthless. We're going back." "No, you're not. You're my prisoners." And Robert Thompson says, "The heck with that," turns to leave. And the accounts are the governor shoots him in the back. This gets response from some people, and muskets get fired up in the air. That's all the provocation the governor needs, and orders the cannons and to be fired. As I say, the governor, in his accounts, would later say that there were, and he always was continually scrupulous about the numbers, nine dead, about 70 wounded on his side, but he mm-hmm. never reports in any official account that I have found what the numbers were on the regulator side, what the casualties he inflicted, except it slips out. And 2 days after the battle, he writes a letter to Governor General Waddell of the colonial militia and relays that 200 to 300
Whoa.
Were killed. I mean, this is a
yeah.
really significant difference. Curiously, there are no accounts of any wounded being captured,
yeah.
but there are 15 men that are captured. And right after the day after the battle, one fellow on May 17th, James Few, mm-hmm. is hanged without benefit of a trial. And then the other people are brought into Hillsborough. And as many of the listeners have heard me talk about this, they come into Hillsborough after a month of basically terrorizing the countryside, put 12 men on trial for, 14 men really on trial for high treason. Two call witnesses, they go free. The governor puts a halt to that. There is no due process. There is no Bill of Rights. Mm-hmm. And those 12 men are sentenced to death. The colonial militia is beginning to feel a little bit uneasy about this. Six of those sentences are set aside pending the king's favor, and they later go free. But six are hanged subsequently in Hillsboro. And you can still visit that site behind the Orange County Board of Education building.
Interesting.
Up on the hill. But this day, May 16th, is important for what happens there. And now it's really curious because, and also May 17th, when James Few is hanged without benefit of a trial due process. Well, it's on the Thursday, May 17th, that we have, well, this week, actually, when we have the Constitution begin to be, the Constitutional Convention,
that
actually,
was on May 14th.
Yeah,
yep.
That
in
meets Philadelphia.
Yeah.
In 1787. And that was in response to the Articles of Confederation, mm-hmm. Which allowed these loose confederation of states during the war to fight the British. It wasn't enough. And so George Washington convenes this and immediately does one of the smartest things that a good leader does. He, at this point, he says, no, we're not going to be posturing for the media. Come in, close the doors. Mm. You're going to talk to each other, and we're going to hammer out something that will work. And out of that, several months later, 4 months later, comes something entirely different, what we know today as the U.S. Constitution.
The other thing that George Washington does at that exact same moment, the thing that I thought you were going to say when he says he does the most brilliant thing that any leader ever does, he shuts up.
Yes.
He says, you know, I'm not going to be involved in the deliberations. I'm not really going to be too involved in the process of writing the Constitution. I'm going to be there. I'll be the president. I'll be presiding
right.
over the Constitutional Convention. But I'll make sure peace is kept. But I'll leave it up to you to hammer out the agreements. And if I have to do some work behind the scenes and talking and cajoling and tweaking and twisting an arm or two, then I might do that. But he really stays out of the process, which some of our current leaders could take a page from.
But he has such a presence
yes.
about him,
mm-hmm.
and he is such a formative person in terms of what has happened and been there all the way along that people have great respect that it doesn't tilt in one direction. It keeps moving forward in a deliberate way, and that's for those people who say, well, it doesn't matter, it does matter.
Mm-hmm.
It matters a lot, and that's why things are different here than in other parts of the world.
And it's not just history. I mean, going back to the Battle of Alamance County, like, it's not just the history that happens. It's the way that we tell the history.
That's right.
You know, the who lives, who dies, who tells your story, right?
Yeah.
That the Battle of Alamance County just kind of gets lost in American history, and the Boston Massacre ends up getting emphasized. So first of all, we date the American Revolution to 1776. It should go back to 1770, 71, if not earlier
That's
than that, first
say,
of
you,
all.
Yeah.
And then secondly, like, when we tell the story of American history, and I think we've always done this, going back to really the very beginning of the telling of American history in the first books that came out in the early 19th century, we focus so heavily on Boston. We focus
right.
so heavily on New England, the Puritan
yes.
experience. And we always tell, and going back to colonialism, we focus
right.
on the Pilgrims, and we
That's
focus
right.
on Massachusetts, and we don't focus as much on North Carolina or just the South in general. And the story is shaped by the fact
yes.
that we focus exclusively on that,
but, you
and
know,
we lose this.
That's right.
We lose this other stuff.
But at that time, though, it was known.
Mm-hmm.
And while I was born in the Midwest, grew up in New England, and have visited many of these sites, Lexington and Concord, and the Old North Church,
yeah,
where
yeah.
Paul Revere, you know, one if by land, two if by sea. But I can never understand
the whole
why.
Freedom Trail
yes.
that Boston's
oh
entire
gosh.
Tourist industry
yes.
hinges on.
But I could never understand, being at Lexington and Concord, why did the Minutemen fight so ferociously
mm-hmm.
until I came here?
Yeah.
And when you understand this part of the puzzle and how this word gets out, and it's not just of the correspondence, but other papers pick this up, and they report the similar numbers of the casualties. It takes about 3 weeks towards the end of June before this really gets up to Massachusetts, and by that point, Governor Tryon has completed what he set out to do and has left to become governor of New York. and taken along with him Edmund Fanning. There is no one to point a finger at, but that is not lost on the people in New England and in the colonies. I think there was a certain sense of shock and denial, like, oh my gosh, before we do anything and engage the greatest superpower, perhaps let's try everything else. Mm-hmm. And that's what you see in the next few years after that, leading up to Lexington and Concord, is all the attempts made that surely the British Parliament and the King will come to their senses and hear what we're going to say, but of course, it doesn't turn out to be.
And it's
that
also
way.
A sea change that's necessary in the way that we think of ourselves as individuals, right?
That's right.
Up until the American Revolution, people still thought of themselves as British subjects.
Absolutely.
First and foremost. And, you know, you react accordingly and you
that's
engage
right.
with your government accordingly. And, it, you
that's
know,
right.
the decision to revolt against your government requires you to change your personal identity, which is a really
right.
difficult thing to do, so it takes some years.
And those and that's why when you look at that time period, it's not simply we're Americans and they're the British.
Right.
We're British colonists who can't understand why certain people have exceeded their authority, or it seems to, and are not listening to reason as British colonists. And that's what makes it a little bit more murkier. As the war progresses, of course, it becomes pretty clear who's fighting for this new emerging idea of a nation, or our united colonies becoming states, and who is the loyalists.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Speaking with Scott Washington, who I'm gathering knows a little something about the Battle of Alamance County.
Oh, yeah.
Where is the battlefield?
It's actually when you go out towards Burlington,
uh-huh.
and you're going on it, you'll see one of these brown signs that the state has.
All right.
For a state historic site. You pull off there, and you know you see all the restaurants and so on. You think, well, it must be nearby. Well, you just keep following the signs.
Yes.
It goes out a little bit into the countryside.
Is it north of Burlington? South?
It's a little bit to the west
okay.
of Burlington. And it's...
there's nothing there.
That's right. That's it. You think, well, how did this come out here? And it seems like it's out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's a great site. And if people haven't been out there, I suggest you go out there. They have wonderful interpretation. In fact, this weekend, they're going to have reenactors reenact the battle. It's a glorious sight. They'll have cannons, people in authentic uniform on both sides reenacting the battle. It is something the whole family can go out to. So I suggest, if you haven't been out there, this except for the rain, but still.
Except
it's
for
a,
the rain, yeah.
It's a great sight to go to at any time of the year, just to see where so much history occurs that is pivotal to understanding both North Carolina's history, and it informs everything going forward. After mm-hmm. that point, it's why North Carolina gets engaged, because they've had this experience. In some ways, I call what happened at Alamance the best defeat that ever happened, because as a result of that, you see a shift in the way people look at things, and they realize when there are patriots that come up from Wilmington at the Battle of Moores Creek Bridge, and Scottish Highlanders are defeated when the British are trying to take the port of mm-hmm. Wilmington, then that's when North Carolina comes together and says, all right, we have got to, at Halifax, and actually a date on the flag, April 12th, 1776, and says they instruct their delegates to this fledgling Continental Congress, go ahead and lobby the other colonies, it's time for independence, because they know what happened. They
yep.
know what happened here, and they know the British are not going to come back as the greatest superpower and just say, oh, well, certainly we understand. Isn't that too bad? No, they'll come back with lethal force.
Yep.
And North Carolina realizes this and leads the way. And 2 months after that is when we have the Declaration of Independence. William Hooper was one of those people whose grave is in Hillsborough, was originally down at the coast until his estate gets burned down by the British, one of the wanted men who had signed the Declaration of Independence. But North Carolina understands this. They are in the forefront of really being leaders in helping people to really say, it's time. We can't sit on the sidelines anymore.
And it's got to be that experience in 1771 that leads a lot of the same people 17 years later to say, we're not going to accept an American government either unless
right.
there are clear written protections, which is to say a Bill of Rights. And that's why they don't sign off on the Constitution.
And,
right
of course,
away.
That's what happens in Hillsborough.
Yeah.
And, you know, two blocks away from the convention site is where these regulators get unfairly executed.
Mm-hmm.
But that they remember that. And in fact, there's a huge marble slab there, and it's in some pieces, but very large. And I was cleaning up the site, and I just thought, well, let me shift it. And I thought, it shouldn't be that big, because there's about 6 or 8 inches that are exposed.
Right.
But it actually is about 2 to 3 feet deep.
Mm.
I mean, that's a huge stone. Somebody put that there to say, we will never forget, and it cannot be easily moved.
Yep. Even though it might be covered with dirt over the period of
yes.
100 years or so.
That's right.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is another, and we're talking about rights, this is another really good week for that, because
yeah.
today, May 17th, 1954, is when
yes.
the Supreme Court issued their ruling on Brown versus Board of Education, saying that separate but equal educational facilities are not valid.
Yep.
And that came out of Topeka, Kansas, where an African-American family wanted to enroll their child in a school that was predominantly white, and they said no. And then they said, wait a minute, that's not fair. And this leads to this groundbreaking decision. And there is even a Carolina connection, because Pauli Murray, who was originally a poet and goes into law, becomes an advocate, and later on in life becomes an Episcopalian priest. But she's comes from Durham, and Thurgood Marshall credits her with writing and compiling all the case history that really persuaded the justices that, yes,
yeah.
this is time for a change.
And that's an ongoing fight, too, in much the same way
gosh,
as
yes.
you have that fight from 1771
yes.
to 1789. 1954 this week, this day in history, is Brown versus Board of Education.
That's right.
This weekend is the event at the Farmers Market to mark the 50th anniversary of desegregation in Orange County schools, but that doesn't happen until
wow.
1968, 14 years after the Supreme Court ruled that segregation was unconstitutional. It took 14 years for Orange County to finally make that move
wow.
and say, okay, we're going to integrate the schools. But this weekend,
yeah.
they're celebrating the 50th anniversary
wow.
of that. Yeah.
Well, I didn't know that, and I appreciate knowing that. I think that's another one of those important milestones
yeah.
that we can say, does it matter? Yeah, it does matter, because we have to keep saying no when we see injustice occurring.
Absolutely. And that is History Matters for this week. Scott Washington, as always, thank you so much.
Thank you, Aaron. Appreciate it.